Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Men, 2.5 men. Remember that show?
Yeah, how long were you planning that intro for?
I've been planning that for weeks because I knew it would go down so well.
And also, you hated that show. And also, I love that you sang at me.
It wasn't supposed to be a gift, Claire.
You know, a song is always a gift, even a song where you think the show is terrible.
You like that show?
Look, not the latter seasons. The first ones are all right.
There is no way that you would watch that show and think it's okay, that you would like any of it. You'd be like, this is incredibly dated and sexist or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, good. I know. It's not. I'm not watching it for its like feminist commentary.
I like John Cryer. I think he's cool.
He's
the new Lex Luthor.
He would be good in that.
He was also Lenny Luthor, Lex Luthor's nephew in Superman 4, the first movie I ever saw at cinemas.
Yeah. I see, on the cinemas. On a side note, Phoebe Waller-Bridge is going to be in the new, what is it?
Indiana Jones.
Oh, my goodness. Two of the things that I really like.
You like Indiana Jones?
I like Indiana Jones. I don't look. I'm
That's
not
one
fan.
Of those things you
fan.
Would think is very problematic, Claire. Because he's always shaking a woman and telling her to get a grip. He's like, get a grip. Shaking a woman.
Which is so hysterical.
He's like, get a grip. I'm shaking a woman.
It's not okay. However,
sometimes he's afraid of snakes though, and someone has to shake him and be like, get a grip.
This is true. And also, he's just so sexy in the hat.
Is it just the hat? I don't think you can put that hat on anybody. I've met a lot of people in my life who think they can pull off a fedora, and not a single person can. I'll tell you that much. That being said, the guy that cut our son's hair today, by coincidence, fedora. Nailed it. Looked really good.
He was wearing a fedora.
Looked really good.
Inside a hair salon.
Yeah. And he had a big beard. Looked like a lumberjack in a fedora. It was amazing.
He was bold. What did he call our son?
He kept calling me my old friend. And I'm like, yeah, it's just like an expression or whatever. I'm like, did you like it? And he goes, yeah, it was cool. I liked it.
Our son's the best. He's so literal and has like no qualms about being curious about what people do, and also very secure in his own self.
Yes, absolutely. Until teenagehood will strip that away from him.
I know. I'm so worried.
But then
for
you get
him.
It back, and then you're just like, fuck everybody. Who cares? Oh my God.
Literally. I know we say this every week, but I just live with two people who both just are like, I don't fucking care. Everything sucks. I said that to our little guy this morning, and he was like, yeah, I am grumpy, like Dad, all the time. I'm like, I know, everything is like, I hate this, I hate everyone, I hate that person, this person did that.
He knows what's up.
I know, even when you love your own life, you just like being miserable. That's fine. I like being happy. On that note, I'm Claire, James is here also, we are married, and we recommend you stuff to watch, read and listen to, and don't we all need some of that?
Do you think 2.5 Men got worse after Charlie Sheen was fired and replaced with Ashton Kutcher?
Yes.
Kutcher. Do you like him?
Coochie.
Do you like him?
Kutcher.
Do you like him?
Not overly.
Do you think he's good looking?
Not really.
Do you like the movie No Strings Attached or Friends with Benefits?
Neither.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about with Mila Kunis.
Well, they're married now or together at the very least.
Yes, I know, but I just...
Wait, not really. It's Mila Kunis and Justin Timberlake and Natalie Portman and Ashton Kutcher.
No, Natalie Portman is not married to Ashton Kutcher.
No, in the movies.
Oh, in the movies. Yes.
Sorry,
yes.
I didn't mean to say something.
Both of those movies are annoying and came out roughly at the same time, which
sometimes
what's happened. Like something is in the zeitgeist.
It happens all the time.
And like little collective movies all happen at the same time.
I got a video on it. I can't remember what it's called, but I've got a video on it. Yeah.
Oh, I haven't watched it. I'm sure it's good.
You've never watched a single thing that I've made in my life. So you know what? It doesn't surprise. If you had seen that one, it would be like, wow, really? That one? All right.
That is not true. I used to watch a lot more of them.
No, you don't have to. Nobody does. None of my friends watch them. It's absolutely not, fine.
A lot of people do.
Literally none of my friends watch them.
Hey, if this is your first show and you don't know, James makes videos on the internet on his YouTube channel, Mr. Sunday Movies, and I don't really care about them. But a lot of other people do. There's like a million subscribers.
Yeah, but a million subscribers doesn't always translate to a million views per video. Anyway, we're here to subscribe. We're here to talk about recommend things. I take it all back.
It's hilarious. Your videos are hilarious and great. It's just that I am not in the fandom.
Some are better than others.
I'm not in the deep.
They're always a good edit though, because I've got terrific editors. So if there's one thing that can be said,
they're good editors. Yeah. That is true. Ben and Matt and Collins
and Mitch. Yeah,
Stella's and Matt.
And Match.
And Mitch. We
My good friend Match.
Are so sorry this episode is late, by the way. And we've rambled for a good 5 minutes.
That's true. Maybe we should put this at the end.
Maybe we should and then really confuse people with your, what is it?
Two and a half men thing.
My brain at the moment, I don't know where it's gone.
Do you want to go first then for your for the things that you want to talk
thank
about?
Thank you so much. Ladies first. Yes. I see. Ooh. Get a
grip. I'm shaking Claire to get a grip.
Okay, so the first thing I want to talk about, ooh, I'm so excited. I went to the Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the theme song for the International Comedy Festival. I should do a theme song for them. They don't have one. Anyway, I went and saw one of my favourite comedians, Geraldine Hickey, and it was so great, and it was a Saturday night, and I went on my own because it was like very late notice. When you have little kids, you don't know whether you'll actually be able to get out.
And you can't both go.
No. And you can't both go. And it was 9:30 on a Saturday night and I was like, fuck it, I'm going. I'm putting on some makeup.
That's what she screamed at me as she was leaving. Fuck it.
And I put on an outfit and I was like, maybe I look like mysterious and I'll be like a single gal, like gallivanting around the city. And I much more looked like a very tired mum standing in line being like,
yeah, but I think
hurry up.
No, that's got to look as well. People are like, oh, look how tired she is, but she's still doing it. Oh, that's impressive.
I brushed my hair.
Oh, she's brushed her hair too.
Anyway, that's a side note. Geraldine Hickey is just, she's so brilliant. I interviewed her on Just Make the Thing ages ago. What I love about her comedy. Yes, I did.
Because I don't listen to what you do either.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, that's fair enough. That's fine.
No, go on.
So Geraldine Hickey, her comedy's so brilliant because it feels like you're talking to a really funny, like laid-back friend who doesn't really know they're that funny, but their observations are hilarious, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
And she even said to me, I remember when I interviewed her, so I was something like, oh, I'm like, you're really, you know, climbing the ladder of success, Geraldine. And she's like, no, it's more like a leisurely walk. And on the walk, I'm like, oh, a TV show, a chance to do some comedy. Oh, I get to see a friend on a podcast. Like, you know, she's just
fun.
Yeah, she's really cool. And she came out later in life, actually.
Yeah, right.
So she identifies as queer and she is now engaged as well. So the show is actually about her engagement to her partner, Kath. And it's just beautiful. There's some really funny footage of her on the screen. If you are not in Melbourne and can't get to see her. She's also in the gala. And so that's online. And there's also lots of stuff of her on YouTube. I shared a really funny one on my Instagram where she just talks about digging out other agapanthers. Brilliant. Yeah, just really fresh and insightful. And what I liked about her comedy as well is it's not mean.
Right.
You know, she tells a story from her life and then like funny little quirks and observations about, you know, what she does in her own life and how things go wrong or go really right and her internal monologue and her relationship with her girlfriend. But it's you know how a lot of comedy can be really mean? And either self and mean about yourself as well, like really like just making a lot of fun of your own self or a lot of fun of other people's choices. And
love her shirts.
Yeah, she has really great shirts really cool quiffed hair.
There's a 4 minute clip from the gala.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, it's so worth it. I'll get Colleen to link that in the show notes below.
Maybe you could play a clip at the end.
Maybe. Oh, yes, play a clip at the end. Yeah, it's very funny and sweet and wholesome, if that makes sense. The thing I also loved about Geraldine when I talked to her was that she said she grew up in a really Catholic community in a country town. And everyone in the country town, you know, loved their footy and went to church every Sunday and all that kind of thing. And what she loved about that was the community aspect of it. And she remembers seeing a priest saying mass and being like, I want to do that. Because you know how the priests always do the traditional joke at the end of mass or whatever.
I hated it.
Yeah, I know.
I remember every week I'd be like,
shocking, James hates something.
No, it'd be like, if he says something about fucking Collingwood again, I swear to God, I'm going to lose my fucking. Every week is like, hope the bloody pies get up this bloody week. Am I right, fellas? Am I right, everybody? And I'm going to be like, get a new joke, you fucking idiot. You're supposed to write new material every week. It's your job, is what I didn't say, but I wanted to.
And I'm guessing you were probably about seven.
Yeah, it started pretty early.
I've seen. Our son's like five, and he's got that already.
You know the problem with churches as well. You could change it up, but it's literally like the same thing every week. It's like you stand and sit at the same times. It's supposed to be a celebration or whatever, but it's boring AF, man. It's like you could make it something, but they don't. They make it the dreariest thing possible, where the saddest man you've ever seen stumbles around in a dress up the front. Like wrestling with bits of crackers. It's fucking weird, man. Make it interesting. Put some proper fucking music in it. You bunch of fucking dunces. Anyway, would come back.
Just as I was saying how it's so refreshing to go and see someone be funny and not be mean.
No, I don't do that. I appreciate that, but that's not me.
Yeah.
And I'm not a comedian. I'm just a bitter person.
I am very well aware that that is not you, my friend.
Yeah.
I am bitterly aware.
And why? And there's also the priests who can't sing but insist on singing everything. Like, oh, John Mulaney does a bit on it. It's just like, oh my God, my God, my God. It's torture.
Do you remember on here? There's this thing called the Easter Vigil, if there are any other Catholics out there. And it's the mass before Easter.
Yeah.
And it's on a Saturday night usually. And it goes for
it's got a real party atmosphere. Yeah.
Hours. And the priest has to sing a lot of it. Like, they have to sing it.
Yeah.
And we went to one at my mom's church and the priest had to sing and his voice was so terrible.
Was I there?
I don't think so.
Yeah,
and
I don't think I would have.
He knew that it was bad and everyone else knew it was bad. And it was like when you see a dog when they like have to like howl or something when a siren goes past and they look at you like, I don't want to be doing this, but I really have to do it. He was like, and then the earth came on. And then Jesus came and said, and it was torturous.
Did he say it or did he sing it? That's what you could have yelled to him. I got to say though, because it's such a weird environment, some of the funniest stuff fucking happens. Like the time I saw a dude like drop the communion wafer and then pick it up and he looked at the next person and they looked at them and then he just like slowly handed it to them and the person can't be like, no, because it's been on the floor. He's had to eat this thing that's been on the floor. And I'm just like, oh, my God, I'm going to die. I'm going to die.
And I will put a massive caveat in here and say that for some people, a lot of people, church is a really comforting, meditative.
Yeah, of course it is.
And that routine and that structure is really important to people.
Exactly.
And so I think it's like it is really – and it's super important to people and there's a deep faith that is present there. So I think we should be respectful. However, yes, there's also really hilarious things.
I feel comfortable making fun of it because I know it inside out. If it was like another religion, I'd be like, oh, I don't know anything about that. So I'm not going to say anything.
Leave me that alone. Yeah, I know, because we grew up inside it. Yeah. That's the thing. One time I had to be an altar server because I loved it. Because shockingly, I love everything. Yeah. I love being an altar server. I just bloody loved it. I love everything like that. So, and I was on stage, even though it was the altar, but I felt like I was playing a role.
Yeah.
And I just loved it. Anyway, and for those who don't know an altar server, you get to wear a little white robe and walk around on the altar helping out the priest. And I burnt my fingers on a candle
altar. Did you do that thing with your fingers?
Yes, I did because I was about, I don't know,
eight. You lick your fingers before you did it?
Well, no, because I was on stage. I was on the altar. Everyone was looking at me. I was playing my role and I had my hands in like a prayerful position.
So you just put your fingers on fire.
No, so what? Yeah, so I burnt my fingers and then because I, you know, I'm a trained actor and, you know, professional.
Okay, fair enough. There's such a thing.
I'm an educator, James. I'm a teacher.
You can move up in the A-leagues of altar serving though.
Yeah, you really can.
Like a professional
sport.
And I
was really, like, look.
You could have gone pro.
Look, I really took it very seriously. And so I burnt my fingers so badly. And the only thing that was available was that little pot of like glass filled with holy water.
Oh, no.
That you have to take up to the priest so he can wash his fingers after he's touched the like Eucharist or something. Yeah. And so I just spent the entirety of Mass with my fingers in the pot of holy water.
Nice.
Trying to pretend like I was still doing all my jobs. And I had to carry everything for the priest and I was like balancing it around in my fingers. It was terrible.
Classic memories.
Classic memories.
Things we don't have to
do
anymore.
Super boring. Anyway,
she likes community.
Yeah, she loves community. And that's, I asked her because she was Catholic and raised Catholic. And obviously, I mean, part of that is coming out and her sexuality and everything and coming to an awakening of the world and some of the hugely problematic things about the Catholic religion as well. And I said, so what do you believe in now? And she said she believes in community. And I love that she does community radio.
Show.
And
oh, sorry,
that's the part of – oh,
my God.
A good show. You're in a silly mood.
I'm a silly man, Claire.
You're in such a silly mood. You're not always in a silly mood.
I have a bunch of chocolate.
Oh, is that what's happened?
I don't have any sugar.
You
so when I have sugar,
me.
I'm like –
silly mood.
Mm.
And we went out for dinner and everything. We've had a lovely evening.
We have.
So, yes. Anyway, that was Jared. And I love that idea. I love that idea of believing in community because that's what it is. It's supporting each other and building that kind of place where people
agree.
Feel safe and they know your name.
And the church, like, genuinely, like, I believe. I think it still could be that if it
and
wanted
to. And it is for a lot of people.
For some people, depending who runs it, but on the whole, it's taken too many missteps and they've
completely.
Lost trust in people.
But that is the part that is
trust,
great.
People have lost
that,
trust
like,
in them, yeah.
That you have a place where people who are alone can be supported, where the elderly can be cared for.
Completely agree.
Where you can run fundraising drives and do a lot of good in the community as well. So that's the good part of it and the part that I choose to cherish.
Yep.
Yes. And also the comic timing of the man who dropped the communion wafer. I
my
can't
God,
talk.
That was good. My God.
Continue. Your turn
there.
Now.
We looked at each other and we're like, oh, my God, this is happening. this unfold.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is actually a 32-minute short film on Netflix called Two Distant Strangers. It's been Oscar nominated. Oscar's going to be weird this year because like four movies came out last year and one of them was Bad Boys for Life, which is it's not a good series of films. People like them, but anyway, whatever. It's a science fiction drama film.
Written by
Trevor Free, who's written on The Daily Show and directed by himself and Martin Desmond Rowe. And it stars Joey R. Badass, but it's two of the S's, a dollar sign. So I don't know how you say that. Dollar sign? I don't know.
I have a real problem with the word ass.
Well, yeah, because it,
because I don't know how to say it. Do I say ass?
I say ass.
Ass, but that's A-R-S-E.
Yes.
So ass, I feel like
badass
it's ass.
Is American.
Badass. It just, I mean, I guess that's how we say it, but it's not how it's spelled.
No.
And ass is actually an animal, not a bottom.
That's true. It's not a bottom.
If you're thinking it's a bottom, it's not a bottom.
Zaria Simone, and there's someone else in it who I didn't put
James.
In. Yes.
James.
It's not a bottom. We should, you know, be a great game show. They show up with an ambiguous picture and then we're like, what's this? Is it or is it not a bottom? And you got to guess. And yeah, for 10 points, is this not a bottom? That's correct. So that is not
what
a bottom.
What other things would look like a bottom? Oh,
Close up of an arm where you squish your arm and it looks like a bottom?
Trick. Yes. Two sausages.
Is this
like
a bottom?
Like lined up next to each other. Is it a bottom?
Well, there's that app I remember from Silicon Valley where it could tell you whether something was a hot dog or not. So you hold it over something and it'll tell you whether it's – so you could do that for bottoms. Be like, it's an app called Not a Bottom. And it tells
genius.
You whether or not something is a bottom
that's
or not.
That's it. We're going to make our millions and retire, James.
That's true.
On Not a Bottom.
Anyway, it's about
you
a
– you should write a book called Not a Bottom.
Mm.
Not a Bottom.
Not a Bottom. It's got a, it's a young, so it's about a young black graphic designer, and after a one night stand, he's going to get home to his dog. But what happens is he's killed by a police officer in New York City. He wakes up, happens again. It's a Groundhog Day situation where he keeps getting killed by the same cop in different ways. Right, so it's not like it's not subtle at all in terms of like the things that it's referring to, as in Black Lives Matter and George Floyd. There's even a line about there's one of the moments where he's actually like physically like choked out, which is quite awful. When he says that, you know, I can't breathe. So there's a lot of like dread and inevitability, but it's kind of it's also quite fun as well. Like at the same time, it kind of works that line really well. The one thing I will say about it is I wish it was a feature length film because it kind of ends abruptly, and there's a lot of really interesting ideas there. I feel like that really are suited to be fleshed out over like an hour and a half or something like that. So I think it, like by itself, it works really well. But I think if there was an opportunity to make this longer, I think they definitely should. And everybody involved in it is really great. It's like it's a you know, beautifully shot film and everything like that. Like the colors of New York are really vibrant, and obviously the social issues reflect a lot of things that have happened are still happening. But the fact that it is on Netflix, and I love that Netflix do that, then every now and then they'll just drop like a really amazing short film or documentary or something like that. And this isn't one of the best that I've seen, but it's really good and really compelling. And again, I wish it was longer, and maybe it will be one day. But yeah, Two Distant Strangers on Netflix if you do want to check it out, which it's 32 minutes, so why not?
I definitely do. Yeah. It sounds great. I know it's interesting, isn't it? Because sometimes I feel like there's so much content on Netflix that just isn't very good at all.
No.
That's just so average.
They just released, what was it? It was a superhero movie with Melissa McCarthy and Octavia Spencer.
I love Melissa McCarthy.
I know. I like both of them. I think, and it's just from what I've seen and what people have also said, it's just dreck, man. It's just no good. It's just like it's not funny, and it's just like boring tropes and whatever. And it's like, Netflix, make better movies, man.
Less content but better stuff.
Mm. They've clearly got the budget, but a lot of the stuff does have the feel of what used to be in like the 80s and 90s, the director VHS kind of feel. Not all of it. There's a lot of really good stuff, but they need to really step up their quality for some of this stuff as well.
I think they're getting lazy, I feel, almost in a way. Maybe because they've got such monopoly on the whole
thing. But that's the thing, they don't, because Disney Plus is like real. Disney Plus has something like 110 million subscribers or something. It's like half of Netflix.
I didn't
realize. And
that.
Disney also have this amazing back catalogue, which also now consists of all the Fox properties. So they've got Marvel, they've got Star Wars, they've got Pixar, they've got all the animations. They've got everything at Fox, which is like Aliens, Die Hard. They've just got so much stuff, right? And so Netflix now doesn't have a lot of the stuff that it used to have because all the streaming services are being parceled off. And it's become essentially what cable was before. So now you're paying for like 8 different streaming services. So it's essentially gone back to the model that it was, the expensive model. So what Netflix, I feel, needs to do is they just need to make more compelling stuff. They're still in the lead by like quite a lot, but there's a good chance that it won't always be that way. And they're still making moves. Like they bought the Knives Out franchise recently for $400 million. They bought the next two.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. So they're making a couple of those and, you know, bits and pieces. But, yeah, they're also massively in debt. So it's – yeah.
Wow, it's going to be really interesting to see where that goes next then with the streaming services.
So, yeah. But then again, like there's a bunch – like I think they do comedy really well. I think like stand-up in particular, and like Auntie Donna obviously had a comedy show, and the series in general are pretty good. They're quite good. But I think there's movies in particular, and they've got a very kind of average record of action movies and like – or dramas and, you know, like action dramas and stuff like that as well. Not all. I think there's some good ones like Extraction's quite good, and there's some others, but – but yeah, a lot of it's just like, whatever, you know.
Yeah, not so good, not so crash hot.
Not so
Netflix.
Crash hot. What's your next thing though?
Right,
it's still worth it. There's so much stuff on there. Like, it's still great.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I know. Disney Plus is great too.
Yeah,
I actually randomly started watching the Banger Sisters.
What's the Banger Sisters
today? It's with. Oh my God, Collins, you'll have to just edit me out.
Oh, just like
Susan
they're
Sarandon
like old,
and Goldie
old rockers or something, old groupies or something.
Old groupies.
I remember this, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I.
And they've got tattoos of love hearts or
something. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I just love Goldie Hawn in bloody everything. And I love Susan Sarandon too. I just think they're both
awesome.
Brilliant. And I'm just watching it for my own interest, actually, because that's something I noticed that Disney Plus have a lot of those really iconic old sort of films that you watched, you know, from the 90s or
they
whatever.
Had, I think they had, is it Touchstone that they own?
Yeah.
So, yeah, they did have this
like
era.
While You Were Sleeping, which I know is an ostensibly terrible film, but I just, it's part of my kind of childhood or something. I just love that movie. I've watched it 1,000 times. I know all the lines. I love it, even though I know it's really problematic. So, they just have all those really old school movies that are
yeah, it is Touchstone,
not even that great but kind of remind me of a time, which is where I want to live at the moment in a bit of nostalgia. Which brings me to my next recommendation, James.
My goodness, Touchstone did a lot of stuff, yeah. Yeah, they did like Signs, you know what I mean? Like Pretty Woman, like so Wild Hogs. So all these movies on here that are basically Disney funded, like Good Morning Vietnam, but aren't interesting.
Aren't technically Disney. So surprised when I saw all these old films come up and I went, oh my goodness, I love it. Anyway, speaking of sentimental nostalgia, I am listening to, and I talked about this on my newsletter last week, but I just have to bring it up because literally I've listened to like 20 hours.
Do you have
of this
a newsletter,
podcast.
Claire? You should spruik this newsletter you're talking about.
I do. I have a newsletter. It comes out every Friday.
Oh my goodness.
And it's just like an extra little bit of, I usually put in a recipe there. I put in a little bit of a thing about what I'm thinking about during the week and then some extra recommendations.
Fantastic.
A little bit of a bonus for you. But this week I'm talking about Sentimental in the City with Caroline O'Donoghue and my favourite Dolly Alderton from the High Low podcast.
Awesome.
Yes, and I talked about it in my newsletter and I'm going to talk about it here because it is just pure joy. It's unadulterated fandom for the show that was Sex and the City. Now, I love it because the chemistry between Caroline and Dolly is beautiful. They're just really great old friends and they're hilarious.
Are they going episode by episode? Is that what they're doing?
No, they're doing season by season. So okay. it's a short kind of sub-series of Caroline's actual podcast called Sentimental Garbage, where she just goes back and looks at old movies and, you know, even like Mariah Carey and like art just like is sentimental about it and just fans out. Because she wrote this beautiful piece about how fandom is often undervalued at the moment and that everyone just really loves to tear stuff down and be super critical and like, oh, it's not woke enough and all this kind of stuff. And she said there's
the opposite. It's too woke. Believe me, I hear it every fucking day.
Well, there you go. Comments. Yeah, exactly. And she said there is something to be said for just bloody loving something to pieces.
Even if it's weird and problematic and whatever.
And that's what they feel about Sex and the City. And that's how I feel about Sex and the City too, because even though I know there's a lot of problematic things in it, this podcast is really about, I think because Sex and the City for women of my generation.
older women.
In their 30s. I really do think it was very formative. And just hugely
iconic.
Who'd
even had a Cosmopolitan before Sex and the
City? No, but it's
Manolo Blahniks or whatever they're called or
but
something.
But it's not even about that. This show reminds me, and they go season by season. It's not even in chronological order. They kind of talk about their own dating lives as well.
Yeah,
and
right.
They bring that perspective into the characters themselves. They cry a lot. They tell some really ridiculous jokes. And they talk about each of the character arcs. And also because they're both writers, they talk about it from the perspective of the writer's room, because the writer's room in Sex and the City was made up of mostly young single women who lived in Manhattan at the time.
Yeah, right.
And so a lot of the characters are based on their real lives, which I think is why.
Is that why it feels like, for the most part, real?
Yes.
By the movies feel like absolute
shit.
Oh,
God. I don't know. And they're going to do the first movie and just like skim over the second movie because as really diehard fans of the Sex and the City will feel.
The first movie is fine.
It's
like,
fine.
It's just
the
whatever.
Second movie is a train wreck and horribly racist and awful.
It's also not even true to the characters because at the start, who are the two gay characters that they're friends with who get married at the start? Anthony and the other one, the bald guy. And there's an episode where they, because there's an episode specifically where they go to hook them up. Right.
Stanford.
Yeah, I've seen every episode of Sex and the City. What of it? But and the point made in that episode is like, just because we're two gay guys doesn't mean that we're instantly going to like hit it off, you know what I mean?
Exactly, which I think is absolutely fair enough.
And then that movie opens up with those guys getting married and I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, and then from there it just gets worse.
And they bring
Aiden
back in and he's got a family and they ruin him because he cheats on his wife.
Which is so not in character.
That's not what Aiden would do.
Can we just stop? Please. The whole point of this is this wonderful sentimental piece about how incredible the writing is.
You're right.
Now you're bringing in this
horrible
movie
fandom.
That And the fandom just we choose as Caroline and Dolly do to kind of skim over that second movie and not really include it because what even the first movie I don't think should be included because the series itself, the six seasons, are perfect in themselves.
See, only six.
Yeah, but they're very long.
Yeah.
So, like, some of the seasons will have, like, 18 episodes.
Yeah, right.
And some have very short, like eight episodes because Kerry was pregnant.
That's right.
Sarah Jessica Parker was pregnant during that time. Anyway, what I loved so much and I found really interesting about listening to the podcast too was because so many of the men, like the character of Berger in Sex and the City, who's this guy that Carrie dates for a while.
He's no good, mate.
No, he's not. And he's ostensibly – and they just kind of talk about these characters in such a great way. For example, Berger is a guy who thinks he's someone that loves women and he's someone that he's, you know, able to kind of banter and talk to women.
And be happy for her success. And,
yeah, exactly. And put up this kind of idea of like this – this person and this character when in actual fact he's very insecure and he's doing all of that to cover the fact that he doesn't have much of a personality and he also can't actually handle a woman who's successful in her own right. And also he sends her all these horrible mixed signals and it's such a great way of writing kind of the breakdown of a relationship and how you really try and make something work when you can't make it work and all those fights that couples have at the end of a relationship. They just nail that so well. And the juxtaposition, and I think they do this really well, when the moments are super real, for instance, at the character arc of Miranda and how, I mean, I just love how it's not a sitcom because the characters change and grow with every – and sometimes they hark back to things that happened in season one.
Yeah.
In season four.
Totally.
And they – so you really believe these women are real fleshed out women. And I know it's a particular lens and you know, everything, but we're suspending all of that for fandom.
Yeah, and there's weird stuff in it,
And you know, it absolutely has weird stuff in it. However, what I loved about that, for instance, with Miranda and Caroline made this point that I thought was genius because a lot of it they do is just pick out the themes of Sex and the City and they talk about it like they're in university studying it as the great American novel that it is. And I actually totally agree with them because what I love about it is that when the realism is at its height, like for Miranda when she has to care for Steve, her husband's mother, who has dementia.
Yeah.
Or when there's a breakdown, like for instance when
Miranda's mum dies?
Yeah, Miranda's mum dies.
And she's in the changing room with the
exactly. So they might have these really, really strong, poignant moments. Samantha gets diagnosed with breast cancer. Mm. And
that last season's pretty strong.
It really is. Season six is just wonderful and each episode is so intricate. She kind of noted that when there's those heightened moments of realism, for instance, when one of the characters has a miscarriage and how that plays out in Charlotte's life, in the character of Charlotte, the glamour is also brought dialed up to 100.
Yeah, right.
So there's this really kind of – which makes it such compelling watching because the clothes and the settings and everything are at this kind of heightened – almost, you know, at that time TV wasn't normally like that and each – episode is almost like a film.
Yeah.
And so when these really like things that happen in real people's lives are depicted with also this amazing like incredible wardrobe and the setting of New York and the way they stylize that, it just is so good. Mm. It's so good. There's so many lines in it. They're amazing. Even Chris Noth, who plays Mr. Big, they have so much fun laughing about how little lines he's given and what shitty lines he's given and how the character of Mr. Big is basically rubbish. And Dolly makes
he's it so – yeah, he's two-dimensional,
He's two-dimensional, but what lines he does get given, his comedic timing is so on point. Like there's a scene where Kerry's flirting with the jazz man in the cab and Big's – they've been out at a bar or something – and they're in the cab and they're all quite drunk and Chris Noth just goes, "Cabs are bullshit." And that's like the only line he has in that whole scene. And it's just so funny because obviously he never gets a cab because he's like super wealthy, like rich dude, and he's like, "Cabs are bullshit."
Yeah, he's driver. He's like a character.
Yeah, he's driver. Yeah. He's a character. So it's just really like little moments like that are really funny. And this it's also just really warm-hearted, this show, and a really great look at relationships, but also just a lovely friendship. They're old friends.
So it's nice to look back on that show in like a positive light.
Yeah, it really is, and just remind you of a time and Sex and the City is one of those shows I watch when I just want something comforting too.
Yeah.
But also there are just so many moments in that that have real depth, I think, and yeah. heart, and even though there's a lot of frivolity and a lot of sex and a lot of,
that's also life, you know what I mean? It's not all – and that's and also that is what is missing, and that's the second movie, not to bring it back. But there's so many, like, moments that feel false, like where they cheers, like – I think it's Miranda and – I know you don't want to talk about this. Miranda and Charlotte – they like cheers each other like, how do mothers do it? How do working mothers do it if you don't have any help? And they cheers like, this is for you, the audience. We see you. It's like,
No,
exactly. I did want to ask you though, because they're bringing it back. Mm. How do you feel about that?
Without Samantha.
Yeah. Mm. They're probably going to kill big though, so that's good.
Yeah. Oh, look, of course I'll see it. Of course I will watch it.
Yeah. There was a prequel series as well.
Yeah, I didn't watch that.
Carrie or whatever it was called, gosh. I don't know.
Look, I just think it's such, like...
It's like it's a specific time and I don't know, yeah.
I will watch it out of interest, but I've decided in my head to compartmentalize the series with the two movies and whatever else comes before or after. Sure. So I'll watch it out of interest and maybe I have a little bit of spark of hope because, you know, that's me. I always have a bit of a spark of hope. That it will be good.
I'd be really interested to know who's involved as well, like behind the scenes.
Yeah,
because obviously that's going to
impact it too.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I'd be really interested. I'll see to see what happens. I mean, they're really selling it that they've got a great storyline and that's going to be really great. And look, I've really liked Sarah Jessica Parker. I think she's super hardworking.
I agree.
Super sincere. And really, I think they obviously must have taken away just how terrible that movie was.
They could have not. They could not.
So I feel like, you know, it's a hard time in the world happens. At the moment.
Hey, man, it happens. It, like, things sometimes are good.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. So I'm holding on to some hope that maybe it'll be good. But I have compartmentalized those things because I just think there is so much in that show that is just so well done and the writing is so great. And there's obviously episodes that aren't great and are problematic, but in general.
How can Carrie meet her Tinder date when there's the coronavirus? Oh, my God, I can't wait for relevant social issues.
Oh, goodness, and lots incredible. Of soft focus camera work.
They need to pull back on that. There's one moment from the first movie which is really good where after Big leaves her at the altar and you see her in front of the mirror with her makeup off and she just looks tired and drawn and, like, not glamorous, like, at all.
Yeah.
And I think that was because, like, a lot of the time, especially that second movie, it's just like, what is going on with this filter? Like, it's just it's out of control. Really good.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, look, I think.
Should kill big, though. Give them that heart attack that they've been threatening.
Oh, God.
Kill him dead, mate. Have it on screen. No, I'd love it. Oh, my God. No. I'd love it.
Anyway, I highly recommend Sentimental in the City with Carolina Donaghy and Dolly Alderton.
Check it out.
Yeah, it's really – and I think if you were single as well, I think it would be a really comforting show to listen to because Dolly's single and she writes a column about being single and there's just a lot of relationship advice and a lot of relationship advice for blokes. Here's a piece of advice that they gave on the show that I wanted to give here before we move on, and I thought – and I would love your opinion on this actually.
Okay.
They talk about how so often there are characters like Berger, so actual real-life men – who instead of being direct and saying, look, it's just not going to work out for whatever reason, I just don't think the chemistry's there and just, you know, end the relationship.
Yes, yes, yes.
Instead of doing that, they kind of string women along or and this can happen with women to blokes as well.
Oh, yeah.
Don't be clear about it and be really wishy-washy and then end up in this horrible thing where women feel like they're kind of being gaslighted and not sure where they stand with this person and then they kind of – the guy keeps trying to be a good guy because he doesn't want to just bite the bullet and say this isn't right. And I think this happens for women to blokes as well. But would you agree that it's just so much better to be a man about it or a woman about it, be a big grown-up adult and sit next to the person and don't do it in a post-it note or in a text message and just
say – at the very least do it in a phone call.
Yeah, but, you know, actually have the guts to
completely
just say
agree. Look,
it's not working out.
I understand. I've never done that. Like, I've never, like, dragged someone along and then I've been in a relationship for too long, if I'm honest. But, I think there is because it's like you're basically – you're delaying the inevitable. You're trying not to either hurt the other person or also be in a confrontation, which it will inevitably lead to, because sometimes if you say to somebody, this is man or woman, whoever, whoever you identify, hey, this isn't working out or whatever, you will get like fucking fired upon. it will yeah. happen. But it will happen anyway. If that person's going to do it, they're going to do it anyway. Mm. So, you know what I mean? I think being upfront is the way.
And actually,
and if you're on the receiving end, to be like, okay, like it sucks to hear. No one wants to hear that, obviously,
yeah.
especially if you like a person. But you can't make somebody like you. They don't owe you anything. They don't have to be with you, no. you know. So,
and it's just kinder in the end, I think, because it's so difficult. But it is kinder to just be upfront about it
yeah.
and break it off fast, like a Band-Aid, rather than
you're dumped. Like that.
No, but just, you
I'm
know.
I'm dumping you.
And you know what? There was one.
A brunch. Brunch dump.
The other thing Dolly said, which I thought was such good advice, is that if you're breaking up with someone, say, I still really fancy you. I think you're really hot. I just think that we're not really made like relationship material, but I definitely still really fancy you. From a physical perspective.
I know. I'd be like.
Or I think you're really fit or something. Or
I would hate that. I'd be like, get fucked. I'm like, you don't have to say that. It's fine. You know what I mean?
No, like, maybe that's a woman thing. But I do feel like I still think you're, maybe it's more like I still think you're gorgeous.
Yeah, sure. Fair enough. Yeah.
I think you're stunning, gorgeous, super fit.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
It's just that
yeah.
on a relationship level, I'm not ready. I'm at the moment or whatever reason it is. I don't know if the chemistry is there, but I still totally think you're gorgeous. Like I think
yep.
there is something in that. I don't know why. I don't know why.
And then disappear. And if they're like, what? Just be like, nah, you did your thing. You can separate yourself.
Yeah.
If you're clear and there's a cutoff point, you can walk away. You don't yeah. need to keep being like meeting up
Let's
or calling
up
and answering
coffee,
stuff. Just cut it off, man.
Yeah, totally. Anyway, I just think that's the kind of thing to do. Ooh, relationships are tough. Anyway, your turn.
No, I'm done. I think
Are
that's
you done?
It. Let's. I have
right.
nothing else for next week.
All right.
So now you can review the show. It's as simple as opening up the app that you're listening in this to and going into the review section. And maybe, just maybe if you're lucky, maybe I'll read out your review on this show. And then you'll be like, oh my God, I can't believe my review was read out on that middling podcast I sometimes listen to. This is from Fargo Sal. It says, wonderful hosts. The answer to the question, What would my wife and I sound like? Oh, sorry. The answer. The thing is to the
get
answer.
It, mate.
Well, it's written wrong. So I'm trying to get do this justice.
Goodness.
The answer to the question: what would my wife and I sound like with Australian accents? This has been my wife's introduction to podcasts, and we both enjoyed the recently suggested movie Kid Detective. Thanks. So it's just open up your app, give it a go.
I love it.
What have you got in terms of
Ooh, all right. So I have a very interesting letter this week.
I love letters.
And it's kind of on the theme of sentimental in the city. So I'm going to share it with you. But it's anonymous. It's from an anonymous source. I'm not allowed to share who it's from.
Okay. Is it someone I know?
No. Well, it's not about you. Goodness.
No, I'm not saying it's someone I know. I didn't say it was about me, but like
Sunday movie.
No, is it
not everything's about you.
I just meant is it anonymous because it's somebody we know and they
no,
don't want
to. No, it's not someone we know. Okay. Well, no, I mean
is it about me or not?
It's a listener. She's okay. the listener of the show.
All right.
All right. So I got this email and the tagline is, hi, I need a favor, James and Claire. It's for love.
For love.
For love.
Well, we'll see.
Love.
I don't believe
Here we
in
go.
Love, but all right.
So this is what she has to say, anonymous. I met someone through the Great Mates group that I've developed strong feelings for and haven't found the right way to say it.
Right.
His name is Nathaniel. I've been nervous to admit this to him, but I thought what better way to do it than to have Claire do it for me. He's a great guy and any girl would be lucky to have him. I don't know how he would take this gesture if you do end up reading my email, but I can only hope he appreciates it. I care about him a lot and he was the first person I ever truly connected with within the group. He's always listened to me whenever I was struggling with some personal problems and has been a positive light in my life. I know I have a funny way of showing it, but I care about him. I would like also to say that I would suggestable having a person like Nathaniel in your life because he is a great friend.
Wow, that is delightful. So where do we go from here? What's the next? Do they live in a similar area?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Are they going to meet up via Zoom on
via
text?
The internet?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Big swing. big love it, Claire. Sling. I love it.
It's a big, bold romantic gesture.
It is. That's right.
And I just think you got to put yourself out there.
Got to put yourself out there.
And either way, Nathaniel sounds like a lovely person.
That's right. And if Nathaniel wasn't interested, it'd be like, I think you're hot as mate or whatever.
You're gorgeous.
But I can't. Big relationships.
Yeah.
No, good on you,
either
man.
Either way, yeah.
You know, it's good to put things out in the universe.
Love, love, love. Or friendship, yeah. Which is also look, very valid and important.
As somebody who doesn't like setting up anybody ever and you who like setting up people all the time forever, or you used to a little bit, you've had some successes.
I have. I've had some misfires as well, but I have had some successes.
There you go. A
couple of people have got married.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, not all of them should have, but they're still married.
Anyway, well done for putting yourself out there. I think that's, you know, it's hard to make yourself vulnerable.
Absolutely it is,
it's
yeah.
It's fun. It's a hard world.
And you know what? Where this goes from here, that's up to you guys. The ball is in your court. Okay. I wash my hands.
James is freaking out.
So we did cut out a bit where I'm like, I don't know whether this will end badly. I don't want to set up a serial killer. I'm not saying either of them are serial killers.
He's so paranoid about everything.
I just don't want anyone to get murdered, Claire.
Okay. I don't know why that's where your mind went. Mm. Our listeners are beautiful. No one's getting murdered.
I mean, statistically, one of our listeners is probably a serial killer.
God. All right. Well, I don't believe that.
Or the potential to be, yeah.
I love these guys out there. But no, this sounds
like, honestly, genuinely, it seems delightful. And it seems like you guys have made a really good connection. And that's probably something that you should, you know, discuss at the very least.
I think so. Yeah. Put yourself out there and see
what
happens.
And I wash my hands of this.
And if it doesn't go well, listen to Sentimental in the City. There'll be lots of advice for getting back out there.
If it doesn't go well for either of you, you'll both have to leave the group.
And also, if it doesn't go well, I will forever have to listen to James telling me that he was, like, right or something.
It's not about being right. I want this to work out. It's a good thing, Claire. It's a good thing.
He's so paranoid. Negative.
I just don't see the problem with being
you were born under a negative star.
You know, every now and then some people will be like, can you like propose to my fiance or whatever? And I'm like, probably not. Because also, does your fiance even know who I am? Or like, what if they say no? Or you're a murderer. I don't know. I don't know. Statistically, you could be. It's probably one, isn't it?
Anyway, we have been suggestible. If you too would like to write in too suggestible. You can. We would absolutely love you.
If you want to declare feelings, not love, just like an attraction. Maybe you want to build upon that.
Now we've opened the floodgates. No, we're not opening the floodgates.
I haven't opened any floodgates. If anything, I'm trying to pull the floodgates back together. I'm like, get these doors shut.
I know, but I got. I guess the difference here is
as well, because they're both in the group, they both probably listen to this, obviously.
Exactly.
So I think, but you know, yeah.
Exactly, correct. Anyway, mainly for suggestions, please write in to suggestiblepod@gmail.com and we would love to hear from you.
Absolutely.
All right, we've been Suggestiblepod. Thank you, colleagues.
Love is real, Claire.
Is it, James?
Let's find out.
Why did you point at me like that?
Because I'm telling you.
All right, I'm going to make you feel real embarrassed right now.
No, no, don't. Whatever you do. Whatever. I don't care.
And, no, I'm not going to sing
Whitney Houston, are you? That's a hard song to sing as well.
Love you.
That's a hard song to pull off.
I love you.
What do you want me to say to that? You want me to say it the first time I say it as on air? I've never said it.
It's been like 15 years.
In 15 years, I will not say it. Keep them, treat them mean, keep them king. That's what they say, mate.
Good. Excellent. Yeah. Got to get keep the chemistry alive.
That's right. You got to keep them guessing. You got to keep them
when
guessing.
When are you going to say it? When you're dead?
Yeah. No, when I'm dead, yeah. I'll leave a tape recorder, press
you
play. Would.
You'll like booby trap your coffin and then when, at your funeral spring out and a big like announcement will go, boop, 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 I love you. And then you'll like
and I'll turn to dust. And you'll be like, that's the most romantic thing he's ever done. I've got a rose in my mouth, in my skull.
Like a rotting corpse.
Yeah.
And I'll take it. I'll take whatever I could get, mate.
It was one of a kind, you'll say, as you make your way to the dating scene. All right. See you guys next week.
Bye.
Sup, fuckers. Did a bit of gardening in lockdown. Dug out some Agapanthers. Has anyone ever dug out agapanthers? Yeah. There's two types of people in this world, those that have dug out agapanthers and those that haven't. a lot of the people that haven't are sitting there going, what the fuck is Agapanthus? If you want to get your phone out, Google it. That's your preferred search engine. Get on it. The Agapanthus, they're the really long-stemmed flowers and it's either, like, white or purple at the top and they're everywhere. Like, you're going to walk past one tomorrow and go, oh, Agapanthus. Geraldine Hickey. Like, just... Anyway, I dug out some Agapanthus and... So I got a few other things, then we dug a bit of a hole, and then in its place we put a lesbian pit. A few people going, what is a lesbian pit? Don't Google it. I mean, maybe wait till you get home for that. But a lesbian pit, it's just a pit built by lesbians. Yeah? Of which I am one. Yeah? Thankfully, so is my partner. And so we built a lesbian pit. So some people, you might know it as a sunken patio. It's just like a paved area in our backyard that we built. We dug a hole, we paved it with bricks, we put a wall up on one side, and in the middle we put a fire pit, put some chairs around it, and that's our lesbian pit, yeah? And then... Once a month, we move those chairs to the side and take out the fire pit and fill it with mud and wrestle. Yeah. It's a lesbian pit, yeah? And then once a year, we sacrifice men in there. Yeah. No. Took out the Agapanthus... Put in some Penrith Panthers, yeah? Loves it. You guys are the best. I've been Geraldine Hickey. Thank you very much. Good night.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.